We spend $40 billion a year buying it, but there really is nothing to it, but a suggestion that really doesn't mean anything. And so we ask, should any food be labeled natural?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 947th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Guaymas who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Aaron Shore on the boards. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
Aaron.
Yes.
Do you buy foods labeled natural?
Depends on the food.
Depends on the food. Okay. Also with us today, producer Kelly Bayer. Kelly, do you buy foods that are labeled natural?
When I see natural, I will look for another keyword, and I question what natural means.
Okay. Also with
no.
us. Also with us today, returning after 880 missing editions of the Food Chain, our first producer on the Food Chain, Amanda Wendt. Amanda, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Am I still wearing the same clothes by any chance that I was?
Oh, you look great.
I changed clothes? Okay,
yeah,
good enough.
It. You look great.
Well, Amanda, now do you buy foods labeled locally or naturally?
No, not usually. I buy stuff on sale.
They buy stuff on sale, okay. Good enough. Well, folks, it's kind of silly, don't you think? We spend about $40 billion a year buying a label in which there really is nothing but a suggestion that really doesn't mean anything. That's $40 billion a year on the word natural. Of course, it's the suggestion we are buying and not the word. The suggestion that what we are buying and eating is of nature and is therefore good to eat. Natural foods, we think, are safe foods. But wait, many foods that were labeled natural, like goldfish crackers, naked juice, and silk soy milk, are now shedding the natural label to become, I don't know what. What's, if it's not natural, is it unnatural? Consider silk soy milk, for one example. Silk was introduced as an organic food in 1996 by the White Wave Company at the Natural Foods Expo in Anaheim. In 2002, White Wave was purchased by Dean Foods. By 2005, the organic drink was generating sales of $350 million a year. In 2009, Dean switched from organic soy to conventional soy, and the organic silk became the natural silk. But today, silk is just silk. So, what's happening to natural foods? One thing happening is litigation. According to the Wall Street Journal, over 100 lawsuits have been filed over the past 2 years challenging the natural claims of Ben & Jerry's ice cream, Cashew cereal, Skinny Girl drinks, and dozens of other products. These lawsuits lead us to ask, what is natural food? Why do we spend $40 billion a year on the suggestion of natural? Why are some litigating the word natural off the shelf? And hey, should any food at all be labeled natural? Well, here to help us consider the question, we have Stephen Gardner, who is a director of litigation for the Center for Science in the Public Interest. Stephen, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to have you aboard. What on earth is the Center for Science in the Public Interest?
I'd prefer to use the initials because it's a lot easier to get out. CSPI has been in existence for over 40 years. Doing science-based advocacy now exclusively related to nutrition and health.
Well, good. So you're right up the food chain, Alan, and that's for sure. Who pays the way for the science or CSPI?
We get some foundation grants, but predominantly it's from people buying our magazine, which has a subscription of about, I don't know, 850,000, 900,000.
Oh, good. What is the name of the magazine?
Nutrition Action Health Letter.
Oh, good.
The way I describe it to people, it's like the food and nutrition version of Consumer Reports magazine.
And how do we find that?
You can go to our website, which is cspinet.org. It's CSPINet, but .org.
Okay, net.org, CSPINet.org. Yes. And so let me ask you this. I was wondering, how on earth does an attorney fit into science for the public interest? Because you're the director of litigation for science in the public, Center for Science in the Public Interest. So what does an attorney do there?
Well, it's a good question. It's one that I would say for about the first 30 plus years of CSPI's existence was, I don't know. About 10 years ago, Mike Jacobson, our founder and executive director, realized, in the words of another CSPI staffer, not a lawyer, that we were having no success whatsoever going to the federal agencies. Congress was failing the American people. So we were plumb out of branches of government and needed to go judicial. Therefore, Mike decided to create the litigation function within CSPI, which was a brilliant move and second only to his hiring me to run it. I had worked with CSPI since the early 80s when I was an assistant attorney general in New York and then in Texas. So
essentially asking, you know, that something happening to happen wasn't working as well as fighting for something to happen.
The first couple of years, yes, the first couple of years that the litigation project existed, we were predominantly doing what I called meeting Mike's unmet demands, which is that Mike Jacobson, Margot Wutan, who's the source of the quote I mentioned, and others had been asking food companies to do the right things for years, even decades, and the companies would listen, usually politely, and then go off and ignore everything CSPI said. It's a sad fact about the American system that litigation does work. Mm-hmm. I went into litigation to do public interest work, and I've been able to pull that off. I don't like the fact that it takes the threat of or the fact of a lawsuit to get a company to do the right thing, but I know that it works.
For what reasons do you bring suit against a company?
There are two, I would say, broad categories. One is the efforts to get significant changes in corporate behavior marketing foods, whether McDonald's marketing foods direct to kids by bribing them with a toy so that they can bypass the parents' control, or all the soft drink companies marketing junky, sugary soft drinks direct to children through the school system, or trans fats or sodium.
So when you see a substantial danger, then you ask, and if nothing happens, you bring suit. And now, are these science, you say you're this from the Center for Science in the Public Interest. Do you have actual scientists, food scientists or nutritionists figuring out what is good and what is not good? You know, looking at sugary soft drinks and saying, well, this isn't good for kids. Is there some kind of science base to this litigation then?
Yes, but if I might, I only gave you half of my prior answer. The other
part
of what we do is just making capitalism work. We'll sue a company, for instance, that claims to be natural. We'll sue one for claiming to be whole grain when it isn't. That's just labeling fraud. It's not big picture. It's individual picture. And yes, we do have plenty of scientists. Mike Jacobson is a PhD scientist. Margot Wutan that I mentioned is as well. We have other scientists on staff, and we rely on them to, if they don't bring us the issue to begin with, Mike often will just give us cases to work on. But if they haven't brought it to us, we rely on our scientists to vet what we believe to be the case. With sugary soft drinks, we didn't really need a PhD so much as a monkey could tell you that sugary soft drinks are bad for children.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but before we do, I got to ask you, is this a way that you guys make money by bringing lawsuits to these companies?
It's a money loser. We have brought in the, now 9 years, I've been working at CSPI, something in the neighborhood of $1 million in attorney's fees. Our money guy, when we asked him a couple of months ago, said that was about 37% of what it costs to keep the litigation project running.
So, okay, so we're going to pick that up when we come back. We're going to talk about natural, litigating natural. Do stay tuned. This is the Food Chain right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5, 6, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. There's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
How natural are you out there? I am kind of natural, but I don't know what natural means. When you try to put your finger on exactly what it means, it's kind of like putting your finger on a bead of mercury on the tabletop. It just kind of goes and off in all directions, and there you are. Well, we are talking about that word natural, and we're talking about how some are trying to get rid of it by litigating right off the shelves. One being Stephen Gardner, who is the Director of Litigation for the Center for Science in the Public Interest, CSPI for short, CSPINet.org for the website. And Stephen, when did your organization start decide, what was your moment of epiphany when you decided that, you know, we got to go after this natural business?
We brought, as far as I can figure out, the first natural case against Kraft for one of its products maybe 6 years ago.
What was the product?
I honestly don't remember.
Okay. It was Velveeta cheese if you're smart. You have my permission to go after Velveeta.
I don't believe Kraft would call Velveeta natural.
Okay.
It was a drink that made natural claims.
Okay.
And we decided to do it because it was deceptive. This is that second category, just keeping labels honest so that consumers can buy what they want and get what they want, knowing they can. We're forcing forcing companies to let consumers be able to do what they should be able to do all along, which is trust what the company tells them on the front of the label.
So how did Kraft react when you brought lawsuit claiming that their drink really wasn't natural at all? What'd they say? Did they fight did they crumble?
Well, initially, when we contacted them, they told us to go jump. So we prepared a lawsuit. And the day before we filed the lawsuit, I went shopping to make sure they were still making the claim. I bought a box of it. It was Capri Sun, one of those juice box things. I bought a case of, 12-pack, whatever, of it. There it is on the front of the box, all natural. Or filed the lawsuit the next day. I got a call from a lawyer at Kraft that said, we've gotten rid of the claim. And I said, well, I'm looking at it. And it turns out that although they told us to go jump, when we talked to them initially, they did listen, and they got rid of the claim. So within a day or two, we just dropped the lawsuit. We'd gotten what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
The private lawyer who has to pay rent agreed that we'd gotten the purpose met We let them go. We didn't try to get damages. We didn't get fees. We just said, good, thank you, and moved on to other stuff.
Well, let's see if we can play a little bit with this word natural, because, you know, during the break, Miss Kelly and Miss Amanda and I were going, you know, what exactly are we talking about here with respect to natural? Because it is a word that means everything and nothing all at one time. Is there a legal definition? Does the Food and Drug Administration say that natural is this or that?
Yes and no. There is a legal definition. Well, the USDA has one that works perfectly well with food products that are subject to the USDA's definition. Broadly, it says that the ingredient must have been no more than minimally processed. The rule of thumb is it should be an ingredient that you could make in your own kitchen without needing a laboratory. That would make sugar something that, although it'd be kind of time intensive, something you could make at home. And sugar is a natural product, whereas high fructose corn syrup, which requires all sorts of treatment to turn corn into a brand new molecule that does not, in fact, exist in nature.
And the same would be true then with soy. I mean, because you can't
use soy.
You can't really, you know, process soy into anything until you really process soy, as I understand it.
And I'll tell you, the soybeans themselves are natural. CSPI has not been directly involved, I don't believe, in any case that involved soy products. So I would be just guessing, because I wouldn't know all the facts about, say, the soy milk that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends. In fact, as I like to say, the HFCS is easy. It's a new chemical compound. It's something that doesn't exist until people create it. It's man-made. It's artificial.
Okay.
That one is clearly natural, not natural. But it doesn't really matter whether a lawyer says that HFCS isn't natural, or whether a scientist says that HFCS is not natural. What we look at, because we sue under consumer protection laws, is what the consumers think. And consumers think correctly, in that case, that HFCS is not natural. They also believe that HFCS is worse for them than sugar. It may be slightly, but so far the science indicates that if there's any difference in weight gain specifically between HFCS and sugar, it's really, really small. So on a health scale, there's not much difference. If you just want to eat foods that have not been processed, whether they're labeled natural or not, you're doing yourself a disservice to buy high fructose corn syrup containing products. If you want to avoid GMOs, for whatever reason, you don't want HFCS because it's almost entirely, probably entirely made from GMO corn.
Right.
Sugar cane is, I think they're probably trying, but so far, no sugar cane is GMO. Sugar beets, yes.
Sugar beets, yes. Sugar cane, no. Now, with respect to the legal definition, you know, in parsing the word natural, there seems to be two directions one can take. You know, the Food and Drug Administration says that nothing artificial or synthetic is included in the product. And if you think about it, well, almost everything has been remanufactured by we humans, you know, everything from a potato to a carrot to whatnot, you know, we have manufactured these things. So it would seem like nothing artificial, the purest meaning of that would be like wild plants, wild animals, and roadkill on one side of the spectrum.
You go and pick up yourself.
Yeah.
There are on the fringes of the definition, there are people who would say that a product that is produced in a field that was plowed by a diesel-burning tractor is not natural.
Mm-hmm.
Most consumers, on the other hand, would agree that it is natural and would want to buy it.
Yeah, on the flip side, though, there are those who would say that, well, Man is a product of nature. So isn't anything that man does a product of nature as well? For example, you know, termites are natural. Termites build termite mounds and live in them. Well, man is natural. Man builds skyscrapers and lives in them. You wouldn't look at a skyscraper and say that's natural, but you would look at a termite mound and say that's natural. So on the other side of the spectrum of this word natural is everything that man does is natural because man is natural. So you have these two extremes, and then everything in the middle is up for litigation, right?
To get to the what you're positing would require either a sophist or a food company lawyer to push that definition. What this discussion is going around about is whether or not people ought to be buying natural anyway, whether any food should be called natural.
That's the question on the table for sure.
And I will. A couple of my colleagues at CSPI and I are working on an article for the Food and Drug Law Institute on this exact question.
Hold your answer, Stephen, because we have to take a quick break, and we don't want people to run away with the answer before they listen to the good commercials, and we want them to come back and get more. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, today we're talking with Stephen Gardner. He's the Director of Litigation for the Center for Science in the Public Interest, CSPINet.org. And you, what is natural to you? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, you know, we spend about $40 billion a year to buy food that is labeled natural. But geez, when you think about it, that natural doesn't mean much. It's just a suggestion. A suggestion with no real meaning. And yet we spend the big bucks on it. And so today we're trying to find out whether any food at all should be labeled natural. And that's what we're working on today with Stephen Gardner. He with the Center for Science in the Public Interest, CSPINet.org. Well, Stephen, I guess before we get to the big question, which is, of course, should any foods be labeled natural? I got to ask why we're in such hot pursuit of this natural. Are you there?
Are you there?
Ooh. Maybe we ought to try calling him back. So, let's see. There, we'll try calling Stephen back because evidently we had a weird connection. So the question I would like to posit for Stephen and you out there, you know, you can pick up your phone and join us. Like to know what kind of natural food you buy when you go to the big supermarket of organic foods and natural foods. What do you buy? We're spending $40 billion a year on it. What on earth is it? So what I'm trying to get at now is what are we doing spending $40 billion a year on natural foods? It seems like we're trying to avoid buying something, and we're trying to on the one hand, and we're trying to buy something else on the other hand. So what is it we're trying to avoid? There. Are you back, Stephen?
I am.
Good.
Something happened. I didn't leave to phone a friend.
Well, you know, sometimes glitches like this happen, and that's what makes live radio so fun. You never know what's going to happen. Stephen, before we go to the big question, which, of course, is should any foods be labeled natural, I'd like to pick up the issue of why we consumers are spending $40 billion a year buying a label that really is nothing more than a suggestion. It seems like, on the one hand, we're trying to avoid buying one thing, and on the other hand, we're trying to buy something else. So, first of all, what on earth are we trying to avoid? From the Center for Science in the Public Interest, what is your perspective on that?
Our perspective is that consumers want to buy natural foods, and they should be able to. I don't agree with you that it's something that's a suggestion. It is more than that for foods that are, in fact, what consumers understand to be natural. It's less than that for foods that have, I'll just keep kicking high fructose corn syrup, although there are other product ingredients as well. What it tells people, and one survey showed that consumers trust natural foods, or at least tend to buy natural foods, more than organic labeled foods. That may be partly price driven, because companies will slap a natural label on anything, and it's easy enough to turn out a product that is completely natural.
So let's draw the line in the sand between the two then. Organic means what, and natural means what?
I think it was Humpty Dumpty and Lewis Carroll that as to natural said that the word means what I want it to mean. The natural, in an attempt to get at what consumers would understand, to get a definition to companies, we tend to favor and have supported FDA adopting the exact definition that USDA has used successfully for years, which is, it's a long paragraph of a definition, but I mentioned to you earlier, that the ingredient has to be minimally processed. A product can be natural if all of its ingredients are natural. The product itself can well be more than minimally processed, but it can't. It has to start out with ingredients that are as close as feasible to just plucked out of the ground.
Would that include, you know, genetically engineered soy that has just been plucked out of the ground?
You know, I have been asked by several folks if the FDA, which has done nothing unnatural, despite repeated requests, is more likely to do so, given that there are now GMO-based lawsuits saying GMOs are not natural. My answer has been, no, I think it makes it less likely, because that's a tougher question. GMO corn, at the molecular level, is the same thing. This is not, pick it out of the ground and you look at the molecular structure. It's the same structure as a non-GMO corn.
In spite of the fact that it contains Bacillus thuringiensis?
You have to drill down further, and you look at the DNA level. Is what I am. How scientists have explained it to me. The question there, it is going to depend on a particular product before I would want to sue over it. I would have to know: do consumers believe that in that product, if it contains a GMO, do they believe it's natural?
Clearly,
it's a tougher question.
Yeah, but clearly, when consumers are spending $40 billion a year for a label, they're really looking for something. And what exactly are we looking for, Stephen?
Something that's healthier than the product next to it on the shelf, which is why companies will slap a deceptive, false, natural claim in order to steal business from the product right next to them on the shelf that is also contains high fructose corn syrup.
Mm-hmm. So
it is wrong. They do it to compete by pulling the wool over the consumer's eyes.
Yeah, and since there really are no laws that govern exactly what the word natural means, as there are laws that govern exactly what organic means, you can kind of slap the natural label on just about anything and have a good time, correct? Until the science for the public interest shows up with a lawsuit.
Well, we've only brought four or five of those. Everything else is private lawyers bringing those lawsuits, and Godspeed to them. The reason there are so many lawsuits is that $40 billion fee you keep using is indicative of how many natural claims there are out there. Thousands of them.
Sure.
And therefore, and a lot of them are just not true. So these are part of I would love to say it was a concerted strategy. It isn't. We're following them. Other folks are bringing them, many more than just CSPI and the people, the lawyers that we have worked with. But I've also been told that finally company lawyers are listening to the lawsuits. 5 years ago, when a company said, can I call it natural? It's got HFCS in it, and I don't really think it's natural. The lawyer would examine whether or not they were likely to get FDA action.
Mm-hmm.
That answer gets back to the monkey could do it. The answer is almost certainly not. It's just predictable because they only got a few. Now they're exposed to millions of dollars in damages, in fees for their lawyers, and in lesser fees for the private lawyers.
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson. We're suing Natural. And when we get back, we're going to ask CSPI who they're suing and why. Do stay tuned. Right back. Natural foods, a huge industry in the United States. Some say $40 billion a year. The question is, why? What are we looking for when we buy natural food? What are we running away from when we buy natural foods? And what exactly does it mean? Some are using that natural label on things that even anybody can see is not natural. And so some are going after those people who mislabel things and saying, you can't do this. And they look at you in the eye and they say, well, what are you going to do about it? And so the Center for Science in the Public Interest says, we're going to take you to court. And that's exactly. Do you actually take people to court, Stephen Gardner, or do they just capitulate before you do?
Generally, on natural claims, I don't know that we've had a single. No, that's wrong. As I told you, we went after Kraft after they said they wouldn't change without knowing that they were in the process of changing. We have a lawsuit against General Mills for Nature Valley products. We met with General Mills. They told us to go jump, and we're still jumping. So we are.
Well, wait a minute. Now tell us about Nature Valley. What's unnatural about Nature Valley? That sounds pretty natural.
It does, doesn't it? It had high fructose corn syrup. It has now a tweak on that, something called high maltose corn syrup in it.
What's that? What's high maltose?
It's high fructose corn syrup's kind of
cousin or something?
Half sibling.
Uh-huh.
It's a little different. At the molecular level, but it's still a created product.
Does it your notion that consumers are getting pretty wary and pretty informed? I mean, some consumers, I suppose, some consumers look at high fructose corn syrup and think, gosh, it must be good. It's in Soda Pop, it's in Coca-Cola, it's in Pepsi-Cola, it's in everything, so it must be good. But there seems to be a certain percentage of the consuming public who's waking up.
Well, as a high fructose corn syrup, the public has woken up some time ago. Consumers uniformly do not think that that is a natural product and do not want to buy a product labeled natural that is that contains
mm-hmm.
HFCS.
Well, you know, we see the with respect to labeling, you know, we've been watching the efforts to label foods that have been manufactured with genetically modified organisms. There's a huge effort by soft drink companies like Coke and Pepsi to defeat these labeling initiatives because if they were to pass, then the soda pops would have to have made with GMOs labeled on them, and people would probably go, well, I'm not so sure about that. And they're not so willing to fight for natural, though, are they? They're not spending the money to fight you for over natural.
No. One of the cases we settled a number of months ago was against PepsiCo for its Izzy brand of juices. There were some labeling problems on whether or not these were actually fruit juices, but there was also a limited number of natural claims, and we contacted Pepsi and were relatively quickly able to work that out without a lawsuit.
Well, do you have any intransigent manufacturers who want to stand up to you, or do you know of any out there who are standing up to anybody? It seems like everybody's just capitulating right away.
They don't capitulate till the defense lawyers have had time to churn up a whole lot of fees. They are now starting to realize that it's a losing battle, and are starting to settle with the folks bring the cases against them and stop making the claim.
So what about those companies that actually have relatively natural products? Is anybody going after them?
Not for claiming that their natural product is natural. If it's true, then no one would sue them for that. It could well be there's a product labeled natural that is also claiming to be prevent cancer, which is outside the subject of this show. But
right.
It's an entirely separate and much more substantive problem with food companies claiming to prevent diseases.
Yeah, and FDA is pretty good about going after those claims, as I understand it, correct?
Yes and no. Congress authorized FDA to permit what would otherwise be illegal drug claims in the Nutrition Labeling and Education Act of, I think, 1991, and FDA has done so. It got sued a couple of times for refusing to let companies that didn't have adequate evidence for a claim to prevent them from making the claim, and it has now started allowing claims that are not supported by adequate science in what they call the exercise of enforcement discretion.
Hmm.
I've been a law enforcement official with the Texas and New York AG's office, and I can tell you that you don't get to exercise enforcement discretion until somebody has violated the law. You don't decide not to prosecute them when they haven't done anything. So FDA recognizes and has these informal policies that are not, they're not the get-out-of-jail-free card that companies would like. But FDA has expressly allowed claims that do, in my opinion, violate the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. And that FDA, in fact, recognizes as doing so, or it wouldn't have to exercise enforcement discretion in letting them get away with it.
Okay, when we come back, the big question, should any food be labeled natural? Do stay tuned. And so we come down to a few minutes left with a big question on the table, which is, should any foods be labeled natural? Been a while since I've been to the Natural Food Expo, but last time I was there, it was about like 400,000 acres of natural foods, and the hot item of the show seemed to be soy energy bars. And I kept thinking, how could soy energy bars possibly be natural? Stephen Gardner, how can they possibly be natural?
You know, that's the thing I passed on last time because I don't know what the ingredients are, and I don't know how it was manufactured. So without doing that and probably chatting up the scientist, I couldn't tell you one way or the other.
Okay, fair enough. But I just looked at them and wondered, and I thought, well, you know, the things that they have to put the soybean through are kind of tortured when you think about it, and getting them into a candy bar kind of thing is like, doesn't seem all that natural. But let me ask you this. You say you wrote a paper, or you're writing a paper on whether anything should be labeled natural. Well, should it? Should they?
The question is not that, not whether they should be natural, but 2 points. One, we were asked to write on is, should the FDA define natural? And we thought about it for about 20 to 30 seconds, and the answer was yes, it should, so that consumers and businesses can know what it means. And then the rest of it is, how should FDA go about it? And I don't think that answered your question, but I was just wondering. That's not something we're looking at answering.
Mm-hmm. And
but I may wing it if you'll say your question again.
Well, just the basic notion, you know.
Oh, should it?
Should it?
Yes. Companies that make products that are as close to natural, as close to the earth, if you will, as possible, should be able to label their products honestly and get sales from people who want to buy natural foods. As to whether whether I care if the word natural went away, overall, I don't, because there's a lot more fraud out there than there is good information going to consumers. Consumers are getting cheated more than they're getting good information. So it doesn't really hurt the marketplace that much. But as to why, whether it should, no, it shouldn't.
Okay.
It just should be meaningful.
And if you're going to do it, so what it comes down to then is somebody has to get out a pencil and draw a line, right, saying this is what's natural and that's what isn't. And when you say it as close to possible to natural, somebody has to make that distinction. And once that happens, away we go.
Well, we're still writing the paper, but where we're headed is not saying that FDA needs to come up with an exhaustive list of what is natural or what isn't natural, but should come up with a clear delineation and following on what USDA has done successfully.
Mm-hmm. So it would then have an official government sanctioned definition, and would there then be certification agencies?
No, there would not be.
There would not be.
If people want something that has the benefits of what they perceive natural to be, they probably should buy organic.
There you go. Stephen Gardner, thank you so much. Director of Litigation for Center for the Science in the Public Interest, CSPINet.org. Thank you for joining us, and thank you all for tuning in. Remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.